Gentlemen, we went over the rules in the dressing room. I want to caution you to keep this fight clean at all times, and what I say, you must obey.
Live from the WKOM studio in downtown Columbia, it's time to wake up and get woke. It's Three Dudes with a View.
Let's get it all!
All right, welcome in. 3 days with a View. Rainy, rainy Tuesday morning. My name is Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. You getting your boat out there?
Man, I got my P-roll going, man. I'm paddling the P-roll. We don't have no boats in Louisiana. We got P-rolls.
Got it. Okay.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. York. All right, regular special guest on Tuesday, member of the Maury County Commission, and also chair of the Maury County Republican Party, Jerry Breidenbaugh.
Good morning, everybody. I won't say it's raining hard, but when I came in, I did see an old guy in Valley Creek with a bunch of animals trailing him.
There you go. There you go. All right, and regular special guest, dude, native son, favorite son of Columbia, 1977 graduate, Columbia Central High School, columnist, humorist, satirist with his columns read around the world on about 50 different platforms. Good morning, Ron Hart.
Good morning. Good morning. That Gavin Newsom out in California, the governor out there, Democrat governor, he's been raining like crazy out there. He was gonna build an ark, but he couldn't find two breeding Democrats. So kind of hard to do.
There you go. You seen this article? Over 50% of young over 50% of young Democratic women have actually been diagnosed with mental illness.
There you go.
18 to 30. There you go. That's
I don't know where you get your stats from.
It's out there.
You must have a gutter bucket up there, Del, that you pull stuff out of the hat.
I'll find it for you here in a minute.
There's a great Joe Rogan podcast I listened to on Drive recently about how mental health, people say they have mental anxiety, et cetera, this generation, he blames it on TikTok. This guy wrote this book about TikTok and how it really has not helped us at all. Everybody's short, everybody's gone from like being social and talking to people, and then with the lockdowns, they've gone internal and they live their life on the phone. They live their life through other people. And it's been very, and other people put up these very positive things of their life, right? They kind of make their life seem glamorous and nice on Facebook, and everybody says, "Well, my life sucks." And there's a little bit of that going on in America right now. And he said something like 22% of young girls suffer depression, 12% of young boys now, up double from the last 10 years. Not a good trend.
There's always been a certain segment of Americans with mental illness, and when Reagan closed all the facilities across the country, then they were out on the street or doing their thing.
You don't explain Republican for that.
I have to blame Reagan because he closed the facilities that take care of people.
How about the boat lift where Carter let all the Cubans with mental illness in the country? Did that help us or hurt us?
Well, I don't know if they were mentally ill, but, Castro probably did.
Read about it.
Castro probably did let all the crooks out of jail. He wanted to get rid of them.
He took them. Dragging up
but,
Ronald
but
Reagan.
The whole issue about mental illness, that's a normal part of life. People have it. It's genetic in a lot of cases.
Yeah, Mr. York, but when it goes up double.
In a lot of cases, it's
220 years of our country, and it goes up double in 5 or 10 years, you have to pay attention. You always say, well, yeah, always a percent of something. You don't understand stats. When it doubles, it's alarming.
Well, what's the population now? The population has increased.
Percents. It doesn't matter the number. It's percents.
Yeah, you're using a base. You use a certain base. But the number of people... That's how you get a percentage, Ron. I know you're a money man. You use the base.
He says we got more people now. What does it mean? You got more? If you're talking about a percent of the population, what does it matter if it's 300 million or 150 million?
We got more people, and they're more visible. Before, they were institutionalized, and people didn't see them.
Now they're Democrats, apparently.
Yep, I think you're right, Ron. I mean, that's... I mean, that's
a lot of angst filled people who bought into their teachers, to the media, to the, you know, they worry about everything. They've been told the climate's, the world's going to catch on fire, and all these terrible things are going to happen if you don't comply with what the Democrats say. It's very angst filled. You know, the libertarian view is, you know, our view is live and let live. I mean, just, you know, go about your life, be responsible for your own activities, your own problems, and, you know, take it yourself. I mean, don't quit blaming society on everything. Republicans or whatever get blamed for everything. Democrats have done a great job of selling blame. If you're an immigrant, you know, in this country illegally, Republicans hate you. If you're a woman, Republicans hate you. If you're a minority, Republicans hate you. For some reason that narrative is their constant narrative, and people are tired of it.
I'm going to give you the best-kept secret. The best-kept secret is when Republicans are in control politically, economically, they ought to govern. They ought to do what they're supposed to do. They don't govern. Look what's going on in the House right now. You got people filing a vacate order on the Speaker of the House. He's only been there 2 days.
That is governing.
They can't govern. They can't pass a decent bill that helps American people.
Your ideas of governing is making a bunch of laws. Like, yeah. Okay, you govern. You tell people what to do. That's governing. You got to get Fauci. You got to lock up. You can't go out. You got to take vaccines. That's not governing. See, governing is let people do what they want to do and get out of their way.
Yeah, look,
you know what? If we'd have listened to your ideology, Ron, we would have probably 3 million people dead in cemeteries.
Not true.
Oh, my goodness. That's a crazy town.
Where does that
people in America right now wish they had taken one more vaccine? How many people in America wish they hadn't taken any vaccine?
We got a measles outbreak right now because people don't want to get the vaccine.
All your precious immigrants come over bringing that crap.
Delk, did you take the vaccine?
At first, but no, I don't take any more.
You took the vaccine, though, didn't you? When everybody was dying, didn't you? Just like I did.
Ms. York, I don't recall the time when everybody was dying, but I do recall.
Well, there were high incidents of death at Murray Regional. You took the vaccine. I took the vaccine. A lot of people in Columbia that are Republicans took the vaccine.
Ms. York, you're gaslighting.
You couldn't operate. You couldn't go certain places. You couldn't go to concerts. You couldn't go to couldn't go places without it. You couldn't stay in the military.
And after I took the vaccine, I got a terrible case of COVID.
Sick right now.
Hang on, Ms. York.
That saved lives.
Just hang. Ms. York. You can't shout your way to the truth. Now, I took vaccine and didn't protect me a bit from getting COVID, which I got after I'd taken the vaccine. And I heard similar experiences all over town. And we didn't have a massive death rate here in southern Middle Tennessee from COVID. We had a few. And particularly in the winter of 2020-21, when COVID-D variant was around, it got pretty serious for a few minutes. And we lost a few.
Now, I would like to know if the people that didn't take the vaccine who lost loved ones,
Ms. York,
would have made a different decision. You talk about like
Sweden,
it's just casual collateral damage.
Ms. York, we're not going to change the subject.
That was somebody's fault.
Countries like Sweden who didn't lock down. Look at countries that didn't lock down. You'll see that they didn't make any difference. Look at Florida and Georgia, which opened sooner. You had more deaths up in New York. In California than you had in Florida and Georgia, which unlocked sooner than the rest of the country. So
what's the purpose of not locking down? You have one thing in mind to let the market work, and the market can kill people.
This is not a market idea. I think the right answer would have been if you had comorbidities and you were fat, COPD, whatever the things that were, you just lock yourself up and take the vaccine. But the rest of us didn't need to do it. And there's going to be some long-lasting problems with people. Have cancer rates are on the rise right now the last 2 years. You just look at the trend line, which has been down for like 50 years. All of a sudden, you got 3.8% and a 5.8% the last 2 years increase in cancer, colon cancer. I mean, it just seems weird to right after the vaccine, people that the respiratory diseases and other things, we'll never know the real answer. And I guarantee you, Washington ain't going to tell us.
You can't make that supposition that the vaccine caused cancer increases. You just can't do that.
Ms. York,
you have
Ms.
no
York,
data.
Ms. York, I am not going to let this go on. I mean, let's where we started, maybe where we started, it's hard to tell where we started. Where we started was you asserted without any basis that millions died because they didn't take the vaccine. That's just false. And it brings on Ron Hart's column this week. It's a typical Democratic move. You say something out loud many times and try to make it the truth when it's not really the truth, you and the corporate media. Ron's column this week is, the Fourth Estate should have an estate sale. We have a legacy corporate media that have stood by and asked no questions when the Democrats say Trump, MAGA Republicans are a threat to democracy. All the while, Democrats seek to keep Trump off the ballot in several states, jail him, take his assets in New York, and expand the Supreme Court, ban voter ID, censor speech, suppress opposing thought on social media. They interfered in elections, for instance, by burying the Hunter laptop story, calling it Russian disinformation right before we voted. Yet somehow they think they are saving democracy and Republicans are a threat to it. What they have done is not much different than what Putin did in Russia. He just won his fifth term by a margin of 88% to 12%. Those 12% have been identified. Half of them died being dragged behind a car. The other half were mysteriously pushed out of a 10th floor window, or as they call it in Russia in the Clinton household, natural causes. What about it, Ron?
Yeah, I mean, I think the model that the Democrats have right now is to shame the other side, go after the other side, persecute them with the lawfare from the government, which they control, pieces, and then also shame them. It's Hollywood. You look at, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, the Oscars, all he did is rail on Republicans. He didn't make any jokes about Democrats. He tried to shame them because they're Republicans. It's just you come up with better ideas that are workable in the marketplace. Don't just try to shame the other side or go after the other side. You know, basically what they're calling is half the country voted for Trump and call them basically white supremacists. In short, they're saying MAGA Republicans are white supremacists. And they echo it in the media. The media says it over and over and over on the four or five big, you know, media stations that, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, PBS. And they just repeat it over and over and over. And they think government is there to go after their political enemies. And that's what Putin does. And it's no different than a despot leader in a banana republic going after Trump. Here's a guy 79 years old, never had any legal problems, never been criminally or anything, and all of a sudden at 79 he's a hardened criminal. Really?
With four cases. What about Madoff? Madoff was 80 something when they caught up with him stealing money.
Yeah, and your precious government didn't find him. You said more regulations. They didn't find him. They stepped on ants and elephants jumping over the fence. He was politically connected through his son-in-law in D.C. with the SEC. He had a son-in-law who worked for the SEC. Your precious government, like Putin's government, is on the take. And they looked the other way from Madoff for years. It took a private investor, this Greek guy, I can't think of his name, Papadopoulos or something like that, who looked at his returns and said, this is mathematically impossible. There's no R-square. There's no way you can hit 8 to 12% a year in a steady line doing what he says he's doing. He wrote letter and letter and letter to the SEC, a private sector hedge fund guy, who found Madoff, not your precious government.
Well, that's an interesting example, too, because Madoff cheated millions of people out of billions of dollars. And when he was sentenced, I think I heard yesterday or 2 days ago, his financial penalty was half of what Trump's was. But Trump didn't cheat anybody. He paid all the banks back. Nobody lost any money in his transactions. There were no victims whatsoever. And yet the court decided that he owed $400 and some odd million.
The courts did their job, and you all don't like it. Sorry about that. I don't like it when the courts indict people who are innocent either. But I have to take it.
It's not courts. It's not a jury. It's one judge and one DA in cahoots in New York. There wasn't a jury trial.
Stop the whining.
Yeah. You love it. See, if you didn't get so much.
No, I don't love it. I'm saying.
Politics, you do. You smile every time you come on the show when Trump has to pay something or someone's hurt by Democrats through the political system. You smile and take pleasure in it. That's no way to go through life.
I can smile because he's getting justice.
Yeah, you think it's justice. You're going to receive November of justice.
The only justice was exactly getting it reduced yesterday.
Yeah, it's not justice at all.
And it wasn't reduced far enough.
The American people are horrified by it. It's a persecution.
The American people know what the grift is.
It's a persecution.
They see what's going on.
Murray County knows that it's a persecution to interfere with an election.
Atlanta, Georgia, paid her lover with confiscated funds the DA office took from people. They arrest you. They're judge and jury. They take your money from you, and they have it in a little kitty, a little honey hole that they can write checks with. And she wrote checks to Nathan Wade, her lover, to pay the initial part of his fees, his $1 million fees of representing.
It's an old
case.
Democratic tradition, Ron, calling money out the back door in suitcases.
That don't even sell, Ron. That's just slander.
Clayton's trying to play us out.
Yeah, let's pray.
Wade wasn't making any more money than anybody
that's
else
right.
on staff.
Slander. He never tried to tell any case. He was a slipping fellow.
Sorry. The case goes on.
Visit your local Buick and GMC dealership first for new or pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Parks Motor Sales. At Parks, professional sales staff makes shopping easy. Buick and GMC financing can put you in the vehicle you want, and certified technicians keep vehicles running great. Experience the new Buick at Parks Motor Sales. Go online to parksmotorsales.com. Find your favorite vehicle. Then stop by Parks at 919 Nashville Highway for a test drive. Parks GMC. We are professional. Professional grade.
Your home is your biggest investment. Getting the most for it when it comes time to sell is important. At The Way Realty, we help you get more by providing all our clients with a full-service real estate company. At no extra cost to you, we help you prepare your house to look its best with home staging, landscaping, professional pictures, marketing on all the major websites, touch-up repairs, and home inspection repairs up to $700. Get more with The Way Realty by reaching out to us to see what we can do for you and to find out the market value of your home. Visit us today at thewayrealtytn.com. Call us at 931-580-4669 or stop by our showroom at 800 Hatcher Lane, Columbia, Tennessee.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, this is Steve, the garbage man. Y'all have heard me talk in the past about Packer, our mascot dog. Well, I have some sad news about Packer. She recently crossed over the Rainbow Bridge to join our other beloved pets of the past. Packer lived out her final days on our farm in Water Valley. She had a great 14 years of life after being rescued by Don from being thrown away as a pup in someone's garbage. Rest in peace, Packer.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Murray County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Elk Kennedy. The old saying is, happy wife, happy life, couldn't be more true. Many years ago, my wife, Mary Susan, had major surgery on her back, but continued with chronic pain. Doctors were saying invalid, disabled, but then she found the Dr. Gill Center for Back, Neck, and Chronic Pain in Franklin, Tennessee. It has changed our lives. We visited there recently with Dr. Wendy Tuohy, saw the state-of-the-art facilities. Folks, don't take a pill. Call Dr. Gill. Go to callmepainfree.com.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com, and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE PrimeTech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I'm going to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
The Mules are back in town. Celebrate Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th to 7th in downtown Columbia. All of your favorite Mule Day events are back. Jackpot Mule Races, Log Pulling, Auctioneers Championship, Miss Mule Day Pageant, the Driving and Gated Mule Shows, Liars Contest, and so much more. Don't miss the Mule Day Parade, 11 a.m. Saturday, April 6th. Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th through the 7th in downtown Columbia. Visit MuleDay.com for a complete schedule of events.
Three Dudes with a View. My name's Elf Kennedy. I'm dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Delk. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jimmy Ork. How are you?
Good morning, Delk. Good morning, everybody.
And regular special guest dude, native son, favorite son of Columbia, Ron Hart. How are you?
Good morning.
Yeah, I saw your appearance on the Huckabee Show. Well, that was good, Ron.
Dude, it's fun to do. Sit right there in Nashville. Everybody gets a chance. They got a studio audience of about 200 or so, 300 people. It's worth doing. It's cool. The old Twitty City, nice studios. And he's such a nice guy. He does a good job up there.
Mike Huckabee, yeah. Former governor of Arkansas, yeah.
All right. Got a little bigger. I do show about every 2 or 3 months. He's in a recorder. He's put on his winter weight.
There you go.
hey, Jerry, let me ask Jerry a question, Del.
Go ahead, Mr. York.
Jerry, you're on the county commission.
Correct.
I was wondering, had you all had any discussions about the vouchers, and had you decided, or would anybody decide to form a resolution to support or go against the vouchers? Or do you think it's too chancy because you might muddy the waters on trying to get the impact fees passed?
Jim, right now there's not been any official conversation. I know everybody has an opinion on whether it's a good bill or a bad bill, but as far as an official stance, either supporting it or opposing it, the county commission has had no discussion on whether or not to do that. The focus, and again, I say this as a county commissioner, not for the commission. Always want to make that clear. you know, we are focusing on supporting the infrastructure fees, or what they're officially calling it, and to try to get that income into Murray County. The budget committee last night, I don't know if anybody knew, but the budget committee met in special session last night to discuss a resolution to raise the salaries of county employees by 10%. And that passed out of the budget committee for further consideration by the department heads and working with Doug Luconan to get that into next year's budget. It was unanimously supported, and it will move forward through Doug's office and to the full commission. But the big items are that it's financial, getting a balanced budget started. The budget process is fixing to start. But as far as a school voucher bill, Jim, there's been no discussion during a commission meeting or any discussion of a resolution being passed either for or against.
Okay. Jerry, I've got maybe somewhat of a bone to pick with you as chair of the Murray County Republican Party. And Clayton, I've been talking about this. Perhaps we've been lax. We probably should have gotten on this issue back in December or even January to get people talking about it. But we've got coming up in August, we've got school board elections.
Correct.
Half the school board is up every 2 years. So
correct.
This year, the even districts are up for
right.
election or re-election, whatever the case may be. And then, of course, we've got the county commission will be do all those terms they're all four-year terms?
They're all four-year terms, and I've had this – I think I know where you're going with that. I've had this question before. By state statute, the entire commission is up for re-election at the same time.
Okay.
So you couldn't split – that discussion has been – sort of bandied about that, why don't we make the commission like the school board and, you know, do even odds, and you can't.
The state's
already set that all of the commissioners are elected at the same time.
So what's going on with in terms of elections for the commission? This is not an election.
This is not an election year, no.
You've got a vacancy.
We do have a vacancy. Vincent Fuqua, who served on the county commission and then also won election to the Spring Hill Board of Mayors and or Board of Aldermen, the BOMA, he resigned his seat earlier this year. And we went through the process of making the announcement and making an appointment to fill the vacancy. And Scott Sumner's name was put forth at the admin committee meeting and then on to the full commission. He was appointed and has now been attending the meetings. He was appointed in the March full commission meeting. He will sit in that seat until August, and then if he wants to remain in that seat, he must run for election in August. By the same token, anybody that wants to challenge him should pull their papers from the county commission and file by the April 4th deadline if they wanted to challenge for that seat. Right now, no one has approached myself or any of the other members of the executive committee with an interest in running against Scott for that position. Scott's very experienced. He's a strong candidate.
Yeah, by all accounts, Scott Summers has been a very good member of the commission in the past, and
Scott has. I think it'd be okay to say this. Scott has voiced his intent to me to run in the August election.
Okay, but again, though, I mean, do we know whether? But he's not going to run as a Republican, correct?
No, he'll run as an independent, and that is. Because the statute that controls all this, as I mentioned during the break, is Tennessee Code 51104, and it's a very convoluted statute because it has to take into consideration multiple factors of when a resignation, when a vacancy happens, whether it's a primary year, that type of thing, and given the timing of the resignation of Ms. Nutt and the appointment, or not Ms. Nutt, but Mr. Fuqua, the appointment of Scott and the filing deadline. The law is very specific when it states that, and we had questions about this because the party voted, as you probably know, to participate in the primary. The membership overwhelmingly, I think the vote was like 63-2, to participate in the primary process and do away with the caucus.
For the commission and the...
That was for everything. Yeah.
Well, and, I mean, I'll tell you, Jerry, I'm a little torn, and I really don't have... I don't have a position. I don't have an answer. I haven't figured it out yet for myself. But I fully expected that once we went to these partisan elections for school board, mm-hmm. county commission, that kind of thing, that the Maury County Republican Party, and I consider myself a Republican, but I don't, because of what I do here, I don't participate in the formal Republican right. proceedings. But I fully expected that the Maury County Republican Party would henceforth have a qualified candidate on the ballot as a Republican, whether it be commission, school board, or you know whatever. And like I said, by all accounts, Scott Summers is a winner for the county. Mm-hmm. I've heard good things about Scott everywhere I've ever turned, and
he chaired the budget committee. I believe for 4 years, if not longer.
I've not heard a negative thing about Scott Summers. And so there's a part of me who says, well, that's a win for the county. We got somebody who's willing to serve and who's competent. And that's a hard combination to find, you know, because it's not exactly, those are the kind of jobs where all the phone calls you get are probably when somebody's mad and nobody ever calls you up and goes, oh, what a great job you're doing. Thank you so much.
Very rarely. Any any local office is like that. Right. And probably most political offices, regardless, are like that.
So you got somebody, by all accounts, who is very competent at the job, and he's willing to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal. On the other hand, Jerry, there's a part of me that's just very disappointed that either Scott Summers or somebody else is not running as a Republican for that seat.
Well, and to go back to the timing of it all, it's not that. Well, it's a twofold answer, and so let me start with going back to, as I mentioned, the law says that you must hold a convention, not a primary, in this particular instance, to appoint a candidate, a nominee. Now, the bylaws, and not the local bylaws, but the Tennessee State GOP bylaws, have very specific qualifications for a bona fide Republican. An individual must meet in order to even be able to run as a Republican for the Republican nomination for any given office. And the two primary qualifications are, one, they have to be actively involved in the party. And anytime you use a phrase like that, the next question, I know you being an attorney, your question will be, well, what does actively involved mean?
And bumper sticker.
Yeah, there are several examples and bullet items given that, and I should have anticipated this discussion. I'd have brought it with me.
Let me
very quickly go through that.
All right.
Actively involved means that you've been involved in the party. You actively participate in the meetings. You have, and it's not an and. It's an or type situation. But being actively involved is to participate in party events, to work on campaigns, to have donated to campaigns, those types of things. In other words, physical activity supporting the party and its candidates. The other one, and usually this is the one that gets most people, is that you have to have voted in three out of the last four most recent statewide primaries. General elections don't count.
I know a Republican when I see one.
That's by state bylaws. And so that's always that. Those two have to be met before we can even consider anybody.
Have to be met. Well, I get that, but I mean,
there's a lot of people that say
this is get that there's just, at least I think me and a lot of other folks, somebody cut through the red tape and get some dadgum Republicans running for office, you know, with an R by their name. You know,
Vivek Ramaswamy couldn't run, right?
Yeah.
Here in Murray County, I mean, to Tennessee, it depends on his voting record.
Let's quit talking about why we can't do it and get it done.
Well, I am not in complete disagreement with that. And I will say we do have, we filled a majority of the vacancy or the positions for the school board. We couldn't find, we did not get anyone that was interested in, I believe it was District 2.
District 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 right. are up. You've got three Republican candidates.
Three out of the five. And the fourth one that would have qualified missed the primary qualification by one vote. Otherwise, he would have qualified.
Okay. All right. I mean, this just frustrates me, Jerry. I love you and all the other Republicans, but and the state Republican Party doesn't get a lot of love from me at all. But and I know they're putting those rules down on you.
I'll tell you what I can do. I can put out a request because there's a state executive committee, and that is identified by Senate districts.
Right.
So our two state executive committee members are from District 28, our state Senate district. A gentleman lives in Pulaski. Be happy to invite him to come up and
Yeah, that'd
talk.
Be great. I mean, let's, yeah. I'm if, and, but, when, and, you know. Let's get some people on the ballot with an R by their name. That's just my partisan. Yeah. Let's just get her done.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break and come back.
This is Barry Duke, and you're listening to 101.7 WKOM Columbia.
Hello, everyone. It's Columbia Vice Mayor Randy McBroom here. We are thrilled to invite you all to Mule Day Celebration, April 4th through the 7th. From mule shows to craft fairs to live music to the Mule Day Parade on April 6th at 11 a.m., there's something for everyone during Mule Day. Join us as we come together to celebrate Columbia's history as we create lasting memories. Let's make Mule Day 2024 a true testament to our town's resilience and camaraderie. See you there. For more details, visit muleday.org.
Hello, this is Rick Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. What is a full-service jeweler? Experienced staff, custom designers, in-house jewelry repairs, and beautiful jewelry. Yes, at Tillis Jewelry, we are passionate, knowledgeable, and committed to integrity. We strive to be the best in our community and in our profession. We build long-term relationships and become part of family traditions that will cross generations. We delight clients by providing an unparalleled selection, superior service, and exceptional value. Tillis Jewelry, we exceed your expectations.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Feeling like lucky this month? Enter Happy Hiller's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes for a chance to win big for your home. Just visit HillerGoldenTicket.com and enter to win a Happy Hiller Club membership or a $1,000 or a $5,000 Hiller gift card. And everyone wins with 0% interest financing on HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, or whole home generators. Enter to win now at HillerGoldenTicket.com.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113. Or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buydowns, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
Hey Tennessee, did you know that in the year 2022, more than 3,800 of your residents have lost their lives due to opioid overdose? Do your part to help lower these numbers by counting your medicine, locking it away, and disposing of it at a local medicine drop box location. You can also stop by your local health department and pick up a free medicine lock box. This project is funded under a grant contract with the State of Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Hey y'all, this is Sergeant Brian Goetz with the Columbia Police Department. As a friendly reminder, the annual Mule Day Parade is Saturday, April 6th. Road closures will take effect from 7 a.m. to noon. Motors traveling in Columbia that morning should expect delays around Garden and Carmack, West 7th, and Murray County Park. Follow our Facebook page at Columbia PDTN for the most up-to-date information.
Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be the one who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times they are a-changing.
Y'all, we're back. My name's Delk Kennedy. I'm dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Delk. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. How are you?
Good morning, Delk. Good morning, everybody.
Regular special guest, dude, native son, favorite son of Columbia, 1977 graduate, Columbia Central High School, Ron Hard. Good morning.
Good morning.
And regular special guest, Jerry Breidenbaugh, who's chair of the Murray County Republican Party and a member of the Murray County Commission. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, y'all. Ron, you realize now nobody's going to pay any attention to the rest of us for the rest of the podcast.
It's adorable dogs. Yes, Seth's not the only one with adorable dogs. I just want to make that clear.
For those of you who are watching, and you can go to our website or Facebook and watch if you want. Ron's got it. He's got his doggy with him. Cute doggy.
Might be the smartest one in the bunch.
Whenever you want to do this, I got a guess for you. Courtney Kramer is going to run against Bonnie Willis as a Republican in Fulton County. She's a friend. Emory Law grad, and she want to have her on the show, she'd be happy to do it.
Sure, we'd love to do that, Ron.
I'll reach out to Clayton.
Yeah,
she's good egg. She's a young lawyer, 35 years old. It's a long shot. 75% Democrat. She won't win probably. I don't know. Who knows? People could get mad at what's going on there. But she's running against Bonnie.
Yeah, that's a heavily Republican district. I mean, heavily Democratic district.
75%, 76% for Biden last time.
Yeah.
Again, it'd be a long shot for her to win. I don't know if this is hurt Fonnie or helped Fonnie in the, African-American community. I'm sure it's probably helped her doing this thing. I don't know how to read the tea leaves. What do you think, Mr. York? Is it help Fonnie, all this going on with her there? You think African-American community doubled down on her?
It's just a bunch of BS, that the Republicans came up with. They found a little weak link in the chain, so they came up with a bunch of BS to try to dirty you up, and that's just the whole – the case will go on.
12,000 texts going back before – 2,000 some odd texts going back before, 2 years before she says she even slept with him. As we know, 250
how many people
2 years before they sleep with each other.
How many cases do people talk about the inner office – activities that happen in areas? All over this country, Daniels, and nobody makes Daniels it a thing. Big problem.
Alvin Bragg's making a deal about Stormy Daniels, and that Trump may have written off his legal fees to pay her off or something like that.
Look how he did.
Okay.
That's what they're looking at, how he did.
That's super cool right there. But what Bonnie did is not right. Is
well,
unfair.
She can have a little sex on her, in a private time whenever she wants to, don't you? Yeah,
maybe Trump can. Maybe Trump can.
You know, the thing is.
They're both being harassed by the system, probably, but it's a system that they created. This shouldn't even be a case in Atlanta.
They didn't create this system. This system's been in existence for years and years. No, they know how to pull dirt out on people. They know how to indict people.
The problem wasn't the boyfriend. The problem was the money going out the back door in suitcases, about $1 million worth of it. And
nobody proved that, Del. That's another salacious comment you're making, and nobody's proved anything about it.
Maybe it's salacious for you to talk about money. I don't know.
$100,000.
Well, that's why all illegal, immoral criminal activity happens in cash.
There we go.
The
thing is, these hidey holes, usually these incompetent DAs like Fannie Willis, you know, they just stay in their little hidey hole, their district. Crime goes out of control. The people don't care and just vote them back in. And they get the district they deserve because they keep voting for it. You know,
a lot of attorneys never get the notoriety that Fannie Willis got because she has prosecuted successful RICO cases.
Well,
and that's how she stepped out
on the national stage, and she's obviously an accomplished leader.
She's still doing it now. I mean, the case is not dead. We'll see what the case determines. And since you have a background in lawyership, we'll see what happens.
She should have stayed in her hidey hole and just kept calling money out the back door in suitcases, and nobody would ever noticed or cared. So that's what you get in those places. Anyway, I want to go back.
It's tremendously corrupt.
Yeah.
Tremendously corrupt.
Yeah.
Nobody's proved that.
All of downtown, all of Atlanta is.
It's corrupt right here in Columbia.
Oh, gosh.
DA's office. Why?
The DA's
office. Yeah, I'd kind of like to hear something specific on that myself.
Yeah, the DA, I've worked very closely with the DA's office here in Columbia, and it is not corrupt at all. all right, exactly the opposite. All right, I want to bring up something, Ron, we talked about yesterday, and this will be of interest to you. When you graduated Columbia Central High School in 1977, what I talked about yesterday was the massive movement. I called it exodus, but I don't like that word because I don't mean to imply or even know whether the movement of Maury County students from the public schools into private schools and homeschooling over the last 40 years. I mean, I don't know the reasons for it. I mean, some I can see, for instance, Ron, so when you and I graduated in the early 80s, Columbia had, would you agree with me? Maybe Columbia Academy had maybe 200 or 300 students, and I never heard any homeschoolers in the early 80s or late 70s in Maury County.
Mennonites.
Yeah. So you go from that situation, the early 80s in Maury County, where you got 200 or 300 kids in going to CA and no homeschoolers to speak of, and you get a 40-year trend here. Now at least, and we did get some updated figures here, folks. That's why I'm bringing this up. Who got these for us, Clayton?
Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne Lindsay got some figures for us, and I understand he got them from the central office. According to the figures he gave us, 1,482 kids are enrolled in private school in Maury County, and 2,762 are homeschooled. That would give you 24%. With 13,000 students in the public schools, that means that, using those figures, 24% of the kids in Maury County are enrolled in either homeschool or private school.
Pretty astounding, really.
That's an astounding trend. It really is. Now, some reasons are obvious. For instance, the Church of Christ is by far the largest denomination in Maury County. I mean, it has been forever. I think probably 50% of our population is still Church of Christ. Well, Columbia Academy is very much a Church of Christ school. It's not just in name. They walk the walk and talk the talk out there every day. And so it's easy to understand that a lot of people may not so much, you know, they want to put their child, their Church of Christ members, who want to put their child in a Church of Christ school.
And, so, and they also have a Spring Hill Elementary campus now as well.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not surprising. I can understand that people would, you know, who have are deeply devoted to their denomination, the Church of Christ, would seek out a Church of Christ school. I mean, that makes sense.
Here's an observation, Del.
Okay.
So 25% of kids in this county go to private or home school.
That's roughly
75% of the county uses public school.
Somewhere in that range, Mr. York, yes.
So support for public school is what needs to be done to produce the type of citizens we want in this country, along with supporting the private schools.
Well, again, Ms. York, I'm making no argument against public schools here, and I'm not suggesting, because I don't know. I mean, that people are fleeing the public schools. What I'm saying is there are probably as many different reasons there are hundreds of reasons that people might choose to homeschool or go to a Church of Christ school or a Presbyterian school in Zion's case, you know, or a classical school in Agathos's case. I'm not suggesting
5 or 10 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ron. Go ahead.
The operative number would be how much increase it is from 5 or 10 years ago, right? Is this a big trend upward? Homeschooling is a variable, right? Because Columbia County has always been about the same amount of students, correct?
No, if you look at a 35-year trend, Ron, back in the early 80s, Columbia Academy had 200 or 300 kids, tops.
So you got more population now, Dale. Well, there's a lot of reasons.
But, of course, Ms. York, that too. There was no Zion. There was no Agathos. And there were no homeschoolers to speak of in the mid-80s in Murray County. So,
also, too, Mr. York, these people are also paying their taxes for your 75% that aren't public schools.
Well, that's good. That's supposed to happen. That's the way it's designed.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm sure
there's abundance of thankfulness. But these people pay, you know, their taxes. Plus, they pay after-tax dollars to send their kid to private school. There must be a big desire to want to send them there.
People who wanted to send their kids to private school have always sent their kids to private school.
Well,
homeschool is probably
there's reasons for it. I mean, there's sometimes when it's not. I mean, some people that it's a good school system. Look at Highland Park, you know, near Dallas or Buckhead. I mean, if K-5 is good, or Lookout Mountain Elementary School, if it's good, you don't see them send it to private schools. If it's bad, then they go to private school. Well, there is a trade-off there. There is a decision made by the parents.
I mean, I'm sure there are a few people out there. I mean, I don't think these figures mean at all that people are leaving the Murray County Public Schools because they're fleeing from the schools. It seems more likely they're just being attracted by something else.
Town's growing.
Yeah.
I think there's a libertarian trend happening across the country. You look at the foreign policy of the majority of the country now, and, you know, you talk about homeschooling, it's becoming a big trend as well. I think it's a libertarian trend.
Yeah, I'm not looking at these figures with judgment, folks. I think it's important for us to understand that it's happened, and just in how we deal with it, I'm not making any judgment with these figures. I don't think there's any proof here at all that people are fleeing the public schools, but there's definitely proof that people have an interest in some things that are offered other places that are not offered in the public schools.
Well, it's a lot of dynamics too, Delk. If a parent can stay home and the other parent makes a suitable income to take care of the family, a lot of parents decide, well, they'll homeschool.
I agree, Ms. York.
But if you're not economically suitable for that,
okay, we got to go.
Send your kids to public school.